Hey, this is Garrett Price, and you are listening to the Dynasty Hot Seat.
Yes, hello everybody, and welcome back once again to the Dynasty Hot Seat, the only Dynasty show out there that is a certified inferno. And today we got, you know, one of my favorite guests of all time. We got the absolutely amazing Garrett Price from Dynasty Nerds. And the, by the way, Garrett, big congratulations, the new head of content over at Dynasty Nerds. It is great to have you back on the show, mate. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the kind words, man. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a cool opportunity. Lots of things up our sleeves. As far as new stuff coming, so it's gonna be pretty sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Just definitely, if you're a listener to this show and you're not already listening to Dynasty Nerds, which is, you know, highly unlikely considering you guys are so popular. But yeah, make sure you go check them out. And even things like, dude, I love the mini you got on Sleeper. That is so handy. If you guys are not using it, that thing is lights out. Is so handy. So go make sure you check out all that stuff. It is very, very useful indeed. And if you're here, if you come over from Garrett Shell and come over from the Dynasty Nerds, hey, why not drop a like, drop a follow, drop that subscribe button? Helps a lot. It is absolutely free as well. That's the best thing about it. So make sure you're doing all that good stuff. Well, that being said, Garrett, we're about to like dive right into this 2024 mock draft. But before we do that, I want to chat about any kind of general things that you're noticing about this 2024 class. Are there any large overviews that you've noticed about these players, this draft class, or anything you've seen?
Yeah. Overall, it's a really good class, especially at the quarterback position. Lots of big names, guys that are going to go top 10, top 15 in the NFL draft. So lots of good players at the position, and even guys in the second and third round of NFL drafts that'll be interesting as well to keep an eye on. So really excited about a lot of that, the guys from that position. Solid wide receivers, big name tight end. Running backs, the one that's really interesting overall. It is definitely a position where there's quite a few solid players, but we don't have a Bijan Robinson. We don't have a Breece Hall. We don't have a Jahmyr Gibbs. We don't have those kind of guys. So there's going to be a lot of either A, you know, kind of pick your flavor kind of guys you like, receiving backs, between the tackles, and B, there's going to be a lot kind of dictated by the NFL draft this year. Does a guy sneak into the middle of the second round? Do we have a year where not only does nobody go in the first, but nobody goes in the second at the position as well? Like, there's a lot of question marks about how this running back class is going to shake out. And it's going to have a lot to do with how our dynasty drafts go.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love this guy. Obviously, we're recording now right on the precipice of like this combine and seeing these guys. Like, well, if we see anybody do anything, that is. But yeah, sure. We should see some players actually do some things at the combine, hopefully. I always think it's so interesting this period of time right before the combine. I sort of did like a huge spread of ADP based on, you know, the drafts that I had on the show and everything like that. This time, exactly 12 months ago, Garrett, going at the 112 position on average was Sean Tucker. So it is amazing how different things can actually change in, you know, this little space of time now, pre-combine to post-combine to post-draft. So I love doing these drafts now to see how much it can change. So who knows? We could end up seeing a running back or two sneak into that first round, or they could get pushed back even more, which is even hard to imagine. But I could see that happening too. Can you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The first round, I don't think there's any way outside of just something far beyond what we expect at the moment. I don't see any way we get any running backs in super flex drafts going inside the top eight. I think that's kind of locked and secured. So if we have one or maybe two sneak in, we're talking about picks 10, 11, 12 range. That's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely spot on. But let's see where right here, right now, they're going to go. Because we're going to pull up the mock draft tool here. And
all right,
it's an absolute dream scenario for you. You've got pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got all the picks, Garrett, which is brilliant.
Look at me.
You've done so well collecting all these 24 draft picks. Now it's time to cash in. You've got every single one. It is a super flex. We're not going tight end premium because I always like to have a little chat about Brock Bowers around that a little bit later. So we'll get to that soon. But we're starting off at the 1-1. Who are you taking in the Superflex League at pick 1-1?
For right now, I think it's absolutely still got to be Caleb Williams. I know Jaden Daniels is flying up people's boards, and rightfully so. He's a really, really talented quarterback. And there's a lot of discussions to be had around him moving forward. But I think right now it's going to be Caleb Williams, and pretty safely so.
Do you have any concerns about any of this combine stuff? He's not really doing much. He's not doing any of the medical things. Does that worry you at all? For me, I'm kind of like, it's probably not going to hurt him that much at all.
No, it doesn't really faze me. He's going to throw at his pro day and he'll do some of that kind of stuff. But right now we have enough tape on him. He was a highly regarded prospect. Yeah. He has connections to guys in the league already. Like there's when guys are this far ahead of the game, if it was a mid-range guy, yeah, I'd be a lot more concerned. But a guy like him, it's kind of becoming more common.
I'm really struggling. The thing I'm struggling the most with Caleb Williams is actually just defining a certain word in particular, because I can't decide if he's quote unquote generational talent or not. Because I think, does that word get thrown out a bit too much? I'm like, surely you only get one generational talent while you're watching. You know what I mean? I don't. What do you classify him as?
Yeah. It's interesting to talk about, like, what exactly is generational? Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like we have at least one per position every 5 years. We have a generational talent. Yeah. Every 5 years, at least. So that's four. So that's only 1 year. We don't have a generational talent at one of the positions. So I'm with you. I think that gets thrown around a lot. I don't know that I would quite say he's generational. I think he's a top tier guy, but I think the last generational from a scouting perspective, quarterback we had was probably Andrew Luck. I think he was the last one that we would have that I would say was a generational talent at the position. And, you know, so for me, Caleb Williams, really great player, but I don't think that I look at him as a can't miss guy. Now there might be another generational player in this class, but I don't think it's Caleb Williams.
Well, I was about to say, is this where you go next? Do you go to that generational player? I know you guys over the Dynasty Nerds, you really value like taking that quarterback high in Superflex draft, but is Marvin Harrison Jr. just the exception for this rule because he is that general? I assume you're talking about Marvin. You could be talking about somebody else, but I assume you're talking about
Marvin. No, I'm talking about Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. Does he buck the trend for you? Do you take him here at 1-2, or do you stick with the quarterback well?
I'll be honest. I'm really wrestling with this one right now because if I'm at the top of my draft, I don't want to miss. Like missing when you have a top two, top three pick sets you back so far. But on the flip side, if even Daniels or May are just solid, they don't have to be elite, are just solid, they're going to be worth just as much, if not maybe more, than Marvin Harrison Jr. So that's where it gets real tricky with all of this kind of stuff. For the moment, and I'm actually digging deep into the quarterbacks like this weekend. So I would have a better answer later. But from everything I'm seeing at the moment, I do think I'm going to take Jaden Daniels next. But it's close.
I love that you're saying Jaden Daniels here, because I think this is a trend I've been seeing slowly as the drafts have sort of been. The very first draft, the second draft I had was, I think you know him quite well, Michael Bauer on. Michael Bauer was convinced Jaden Daniels was not even going the first round. And then slowly it's crept up and the college season ended and he won the Heisman. And now he's all the way up at 1-2. I just love how far things have managed to come along. Jaden Daniels, for me, he has, I don't know if I'm too far to say, he's got a higher ceiling than Caleb Williams, right?
I would at least say pretty similar. I think they have a very interesting skill set in the sense that they're both dynamic playmakers. They both can do things running the football. So I think you can make a strong argument for either one of them as the higher ceiling. But both of them are, man, especially for fantasy football.
Yeah.
The ceiling is crazy.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what he does. Can't wait to see where he ends up. And hopefully they just let him go be him and like don't try and like restrain him too much. Just let him go out and be creative and be free. That'd be great to see with Jaden Daniels. I love the pick at 1-2. So who's following up then at 1-3? I'm guessing you're still wrestling between Drake May, Marvin Harrison, still going on in your head.
Yeah. And honestly, you could put, for me, all of those guys are kind of in the same tier. So you could put those three in almost any order, and I'm not going to probably argue you. I think it's a pretty good tier. It's more on, are you a guy that likes to play it safer as far as the prospect, or play it safer as far as the position? And, you know, you can go either way. Here is where I am going to make the jump into Marvin Harrison Jr., though. He's so freaking good. You know, I'm okay with throwing around the generational term for Marvin Harrison Jr. because when we look at the size speed combos that have actually performed and produced the numbers that he's produced, that has the lineage that he has, you can make a very strong argument, best prospect in the same vein of the Julio Joneses of the world.
Yeah.
AJ Greens, Calvin Johnsons, people that we've seen over the past 20, 25 years as the best wide receivers, put him in that category. That's how talented Marvin Harrison Jr. is. So it'll be really interesting to see where he goes, what he's able to do early on. But I just can't imagine a world where he's not consistently, worst case scenario, a top 15 guy at the position. And that's like his floor. His floor is a top 15 guy. His ceiling is move over Justin Jefferson. Like, that's a ceiling. So it's crazy.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to remember. So we even mentioned like Justin Jefferson, that we look at these elite guys now, the top tier fantasy guys with Jefferson, Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, all these guys, even though they were all hyped up and even though people love them as prospects, you know, some more than others, they weren't going here. They weren't going at 1-2, 1-3, like ahead of some of the quarterbacks. I can't remember how far back you have to go until you've seen like a wide receiver going this high. I don't know if you can remember better than Mika, but it's quite a long time, right?
Yeah, it's been a little bit since we've had any receivers that people are consistently taking this high. You know, with the exception of my home league, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when my buddy took Mecole Hardman like third overall. But
He's seen that Super Bowl catch coming. He's seen
yeah, exactly. But you would have to go back to in a Superflex league. Now, granted, at the time, Superflex leagues weren't as popular, but you probably have to go back to even the DJ Moore year. Like, there were a lot of good running backs that year. And I think that's part of it too. There's not a lot of good running backs, but I think you'd have to go back to like Sammy Watkins and some of those guys.
Yeah.
Corey Davis, those players that we saw receivers really going that high.
Yeah, it's crazy to show like that. Shows you like the talent of someone like Marvin Harrison, that he's going ahead of all these guys that we know and love now. So, I mean, this is something I've been asking everybody as well about Marvin Harrison, and you'll know more than us because you're a big Ohio State guy. Is there any knock at all? Is there any small gap or something he can't do? Because I can't find a thing. I can't lie.
I remember reading, this would have been either late high school or early college. I was one of those guys that would buy the magazines before the NFL draft, and I would read about all the prospects and things like that. And I remember getting to Calvin Johnson's profile. I'm reading through all of his strengths and all these things, and it got to a part where it said weaknesses, and it said none visible. And that's really how it feels with Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, I can't think of something that he doesn't do above average or better. I can't think of something.
No, neither can I. I can't see it. And I've asked about 10 people this, and everyone's just said, no, there's nothing. It's just he's going to be great. And it doesn't matter where he goes or where he lands. I don't really care. He's just going to he's going to come in. He's going to be awesome. So if you're picking at 1-3 and you were like this close to the championship, you're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Gotta love it. Like, absolutely gotta love it for your team. So, following up then, is this where Drake May comes off the board for you then at the 1-4?
Absolutely. Yep. This is where Drake May comes. And we've seen his stock dip a little bit lately, at least in the eyes of the fantasy community and even the NFL community a little bit. I think with the rise of Daniels, the demise of May has happened a little bit. But we saw this same type of narrative happen last year with the three quarterbacks. We had Bryce Young, who everybody assumed would be the number one guy, and he was. Yep. Then we had Anthony Richardson flying up boards because of his raw athleticism and then how high he was taken in the draft and to what team. And then you had kind of the other guy, and the other guy was CJ Stroud. And it just so happened he put up a career season as a rookie. Like any quarterback in their prime would love to have the season he had as a rookie. So I think we could be doing a similar thing with May. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come in and throw for however many, what was it, like 34 touchdowns or whatever
yeah.
CJ Stroud had. It was something nuts. I'm not saying that, but I do think this is a very talented prospect that we've had our eye on since he was a freshman. He's checked all the boxes. He's got the size. He's a good athlete. Like, there's nothing horrible in his game either. Now, you can nitpick with a little bit of his accuracy at times. And, like, there are definitely things to nitpick. Don't get me wrong. But overall, really, really good prospect. And let's not forget, NFL GMs last year with the class that had C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young saying the two best quarterbacks for this class are actually still in college. And that was Drake May and Caleb Williams. So, yeah, I get people wanting to knock him a little bit, but he's still a really freaking good player.
Yeah, that the accuracy one, whenever I was looking up some of his statistics, the accuracy one stood out to me. It was like, that's a really like surprisingly low number. But I had Jess Ine on from the Football Guys, who was telling me he had the like adjusted pass completion stats up and much healthier there. He had a lot of drops, he had a lot of like just things that didn't quite go his way. That sort of made a bit more sense to me. So I think Drake May, you're going to beat the lot of getting him. How lazy do you think the comparison to Justin Herbert is for Drake May?
Lazy, sure, but not crazy and accurate though. That's the hard part. Is like, right. He's got the size, he's got the arm, he's an above average athlete. Like, sounds a lot like Justin Herbert. So,
right,
is it the most original? No, but it's not entirely inaccurate either.
Yeah, I think that's about right. He's sort of got the same, a lot of the same intangibles, right? So we got four guys locked in. Then where are you going to go at pick 1-5 then, Garrett?
Pick 1-5 is where it starts to differ, like be a little bit different for me. I know a lot of people have this guy in that same tier as those first guys. I have a slight gap here, and it's no knock on him. I think it's just those players are really good. But Malik Nabers is going to go here.
Yeah.
Next wide receiver off the board. This is pretty chalk, I think. Most people are going to have Nabers right in this range. Maybe some might even put him above Drake May. But I think Nabers is a really talented player, real explosive player. And he deserves to be in the conversations that he's in. I just don't think he's as close to Marvin Harrison Jr. as everybody wants to put him.
Yeah, I think that's spot on there. Malik Nabers is, I mean, one of the best like wide receiver two prospects we've seen in a long time as well. Just shows again
absolutely
how good Marvin Harrison Jr. is. He's just a guy that, in the same way, I'm not really worried about where Marvin Harrison Jr. lands. I don't have too many concerns about Malik Nabers. Like, he's got the ability to play inside, play outside. He's shown enough at LSU that he's going to go somewhere and he's going to hit the ground running. I mean, obviously, the dream landing spot is, we just mentioned Justin Herbert, right? Pairing up with him at the Chargers. That's awesome. Oh, but
for sure.
I don't know if that's where they're going to go, but if he doesn't go there, I'm really not worried about it. What for you is Malik Nabers' standout attribute?
That's a really good question, because he's got a fairly well-rounded game.
Yeah.
But I think it's his big playability down the field to make that explosive play. I think that would be the biggest thing for me, but there's not a lot. And that's the crazy part about Malik Nabers is he's got solid size. He's not huge like Marvin Harrison Jr. is, but he's got solid size. He's got good speed. Like, there's not a ton to knock him either. So he's a very, very good wide receiver prospect.
Yeah, he looks really, really good. I just love him with the ball in his hands. In the same way, a lot of people, it's not the exact perfect comparison, the same way people describe Deebo Samuel as like a running back with a ball in his hands, I think sometimes Malik Nabers looks like that as well. He kind of has that like ship when he gets that ball. He is quite elusive. So I really like the way that he moves with the ball in his hands. So love Malik Nabers in there at 1-5. And I'm moving on to pick 1-6, Garrett. Where are you going after Malik Nabers?
I'm going to go with Roman Dunze here. I have Odunze and Nabers closer than I do Harrison and Nabers. I think in Odunze and Nabers went a little bit differently. Odunze's got that big frame. He's not as elite in the sense of like just outrun people and things like that, but really good footwork, really good route running, like does a lot of things really well, and he's just a polished. I think that's the biggest thing. He's so polished as a wide receiver. Yeah. And so I really like Romo Odunze a lot. I think he's going to be a really good pro.
Yeah, I'm right there with you with Romo Odunze. Just someone who, in fact, this was, I didn't get too much heat for this. I got a few people questioning, but I just don't think they read my tweet like perfectly well. I sort of graded out wide receivers based on 2024 performance alone. Nothing else, just the 2024 performance.
Just the numbers.
I had Romo Odunze ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. for his performance in 2024 alone. Because I thought he was absolutely epic in the red zone, unstoppable. Love the link with Michael Penix Jr. I can't wait to see what he does in the NFL. The only thing that worries me is sometimes that there is concern with like the whole like my ball like domination thing is maybe harder to translate into college, but I think he's that good at it that he should be just fine, probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah, contested catches aren't as easy in the NFL as they are in college, but he reminds me a lot. The comp for him has been maybe a twitch faster version of Keenan Allen. He reminds me a lot of Keenan Allen, a guy that I don't think he's going to make a ton of big plays over the top, but he's going to constantly be in the right place, constantly make catches, and constantly be open. So I like Romo Odunze quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely right there with you. And then at pick number 7, where are you going up to follow Romo Odunze?
This is where it gets a little bit interesting in a non-tight end premium because you do have a few different options here. But I'm gonna go a little bit off the board at the moment. And this is because of projected draft capital because I don't think this guy is getting outside of the top 15, top 20. And that's J.J. McCarthy. Now, I'm not necessarily the biggest J.J. McCarthy stan, but he's a good athlete. He's got a strong arm, and he's a winner. So you put those things together, that's a pretty good profile. Guy that's still pretty young, can still be molded. I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of those guys that goes somewhere, maybe sits for a year or so, kind of like what we just saw with Jordan Love. We saw it with Rodgers. We saw it with Mahomes. We've seen a lot of good quarterbacks kind of go and sit and just learn the ropes for a little bit. That would probably be the best thing for McCarthy, but all of the tools are there. It's just, can he get those tools from a good level to a great level? And that's what I'm not sure about.
Yeah, that's exactly whenever I watched J.J. McCarthy when he was allowed to throw the ball, you just kind of thought every now and again, just like, it's like, stop trying to throw it so hard, man. You're trying to like throw it like through the receivers sometimes. It's like, maybe if you just took 5% off, just improve the accuracy a little bit. It's just a little tweak here, a little tweak there. And I think, he could be really, really good. And he's a guy, another example of someone a few months ago doing these drafts, he was not even appearing at all. And I was kind of like, I'm sure McCarthy's going to go a little bit higher. Just, you could see an NFL team like falling in love with him in the same way I can see Bo Nix being left in the green room at the end of round one. I can just see it in my head. I can, like, it's visualized there. I can see JJ McCarthy being taken a little bit ahead of where people think. So I really like that pick. And again, if he goes top 15 in a super flex, you got to take him here, right? You got to. So who's following up at 1-8 then, Garrett?
Yeah, we're going to go Brock Bowers here. Really, really talented tight end. Performed as a true freshman. I think this is the furthest that I think he'll probably go. And this isn't a knock on him at all. It's just without the premium, it's just so tough to trust a rookie tight end. And, you know, our hit rate on first round tight ends lately hasn't been amazing. So that's the interesting part with him, but really talented pass catcher. He's just going to be a little more team and scheme dependent more so than other positions will be.
So this is what I was getting at earlier. I was like, I didn't put the premium on because I always like to ask this question. Let's say we did have a premium. It was a 1 point premium for tight ends per reception. How much higher does Brock Bowers go?
He easily goes ahead of McCarthy.
Yep.
I don't know if he makes it ahead of Odunze or not. That's where I could kind of go either way on that one.
Yeah, I think it's really, which is why tight end premium obviously so interesting, right? It can change things and gets people questioning the tight end a little bit more, which is great. So Brock Bowers, he looks like an absolute wrecking ball at times, and people sort of talk about his size, and in the same kind of way people talk about some of these receivers coming out in their size. Oh, the size. Like, at no stage has Brock Bowers' size been an issue for him. So I don't see why it would start becoming an issue for him now, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's, and it is a little different in the college game than the NFL game, but it would be different for me if I'm trying to evaluate a tight end as far as being a complete tight end, both in the receiving game and the running game. I couldn't care less how he blocks. And in fact, at times there have been guys where blocking's almost been a detriment to their fantasy upside. So I'm good with him just being a glorified receiver. Cool. Put him in the slot, let him do his thing. So I'm good with it.
Yeah, absolutely right there with you. Love Brock Bowers. Can't wait to see where he ends up and what he does. So we got him locked in at 1-8. Garrett, where are you going at 1-9 then?
So at 1-9, I think this is kind of where we have another tier break.
Yep,
and agreed. This is kind of wide open at this point. And ADP-wise, I think it's pretty spot on because those next two guys are the two guys I would be deciding between. Right now, I'm going to go with Brian Thomas as the next one and then Troy Franklin. But both really talented players. Went a little bit differently. Brian Thomas, although he's got a decently well-rounded game, he is the more prototypical X receiver. He's got the size, things like that. Whereas Troy Franklin, a little bit on the smaller side, a little on the slider side. But, man, he take the top off of defense. He can make some big plays down the field. So these two guys win different ways. But I think both guys are really talented players.
Yeah, Brian Thomas is a real interesting one. He's another one that I keep saying, like, if you had a silhouette of Marvin Harrison Jr. and a silhouette of Brian Thomas, it'd be kind of hard to distinguish who was who. And they have a lot of sort of similar kind of physical features. Obviously, Marvin Harrison just is elite between the ears, though, as well. Like, he just, that really separates him, that and his footwork. But Brian Thomas has got all the physical gifts that you need. And he was, I don't know if he quite ended up leading college football in touchdown receptions, but he was right up there at the end of the year with just being that elite end zone threat, which is brilliant for his value.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He's a really interesting guy. I'm excited to do, like, because I'm now starting to get into my, like, true deep dives as opposed to just the surface level stuff, watching a game or two. Like, I want to get 5-6 games on all these guys, really take some detailed notes and things like that. So I'm excited to get into that portion of things because it's that time of year for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Troy Flanagan, you're right, just takes the top off. I'm a Kansas City fan. I've got my fingers crossed for Troy Flanagan in Kansas City. That's the dream landing spot. I don't think he falls that far, though, Garrett. What do you think?
Probably not. Yeah. But you can get yourself what you guys always wanted Mecole Hardman to be.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. So we got those two locked in. You got two more picks in the first round, Garrett. Where are you going at pick number 11?
Yeah, and these two guys seem to kind of be the next two consensus. And then it is kind of wide open again. I've seen a lot of different directions that people have gone. I will probably at this point go with Xavier Worthy. I actually did a show earlier today talking about Keon Coleman. And I'm so torn on Keon Coleman because on one hand, you see the physical attributes and you see some of the things that he can do. And they are really, really impressive. On the other hand, if I'm profiling players, two guys that he fits very neatly into a profile with are two guys that I did not like at all and have kind of been busts over the past 2 years in Quentin Johnston and then why am I blanking on the Tennessee receiver out of Arkansas?
Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks, thank you. He fits really nicely into a profile with those two guys. So he's a tough one for me. So right now I think Xavier Worthy is just a little bit safer, similar to Troy Franklin, another guy that's a real speedster, takes the top off. He's been producing since his true freshman year. So definitely a guy that is worthy of going in this range. But I would be lying if I would say I'm super confident at this point. I could see a lot shifting and changing for me.
What do you think about, so obviously there's a lot of discussion, especially with sort of a lot of Devy guys, I suppose, as well, talk about this, I think, but a lot of people have spoke to me about their concerns with people like Roma Dunze, about Jaden Daniels, about how they haven't, hit until later. They've got that leader breakout. And I've always said, for me, actually, I'm more concerned about the opposite. Someone like Xavier Worthy, who had the early breakout and then sort of got worse every year. Now, I know last year he had his quarterback in it. His quarterback injured. It was the weird sort of spread of targets at Texas. It wasn't the perfect scenario, but which one would you prefer if you could only pick one? If you have that late breakout where they didn't do much, or you have that early breakout, but it sort of fizzles towards the end?
I'd much rather have the late breakout. Show me what you've done recently. That's always more significant and more important to me, because that what that tells me is, I mean, a few different things, but the chief concern among those things is there an issue preventing that player from getting better? And that's always a concern. If they're an early breakout and then they just, the rest of their career just kind of fizzles, is there something preventing them from getting better? Is it of their own doing? Was it their situation? Like, what caused that? But there's a reason that this player never really got better. You kind of saw that with Rondale Moore a few years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy freshman season. Crazy. And then every year after that, it was just kind of like, okay, he's fine. You know, and we see that sometimes out of these Devy guys. So, yeah, if I had to choose between the two, show me what you've done lately, and that's more significant to me.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't fully apply to Worthy. It was just kind of something that popped out. There's, like I said, a bit of difficult circumstances there at Texas, mm-hmm. but he's a guy that I really like, and he looks a good player. For me, which is really refreshing, nobody's banging on about his size, and people are now just accepting that players like Xavier Worthy can succeed in the NFL. We finally did it, Garrett. We finally got there, right?
We got to that point. Here we are.
Yeah, it's about time. So Worthy is there. And then at pick 12, you were wrestling with Keon Coleman. Is he who you would take at pick 112, or is someone else go ahead of him?
I think this is where, and potentially even at 111, is where RB1 goes. The problem is, I don't know 100% who RB1 is at the moment.
Yeah,
that's the tricky part. So for right now, let's put Jonathan Brooks there. I think he has the most complete profile of the running backs. The tricky part is going to be he's coming off that injury, so you got to miss time and things like that. So we'll kind of have to see how all of that plays out for Jonathan Brooks, but he is a talented player. He's got the size. If there was somebody that could evolve into, you know, more traditional three down back, which those are very few and far between, but if there's somebody that could, it would be Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, for me, he's the most talented running back in this class. Obviously, a shame about the injury. He might not play much in his first year. We might see him towards the tail end. But just with the type of injury, it's that kind of one where we're really not expecting to see much till next year anyway. So I think that's great for his value. You might be able to get him in the second round. And if you just won the league and you get to add Jonathan Brooks as well, that's pretty cool, right?
That's pretty nice. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. So, Garrett, just looking at the time, we've gone through one round. Here's what we might do for the second round. How about you give me rapid fire three names, and then we'll kind of choose one to talk about a bit more in depth. So can you give me your 2-1, 2-2, and 2-3, please?
All right. So let's go with Marshawn Lloyd.
Marshawn Lloyd.
Yeah, you might have to scroll a little bit.
I'm looking. There we go. Got him.
Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum, and Keon Coleman.
Nice. That's it. Let's talk then a little bit about Marshawn Lloyd. That's the first time that he's been mentioned. Is he – so do you think the shine got taken off of him, obviously, with it, considering who his teammate is, or what? Is that why he's not been mentioned so much?
I don't think people are as aware of his game as maybe they should be. We're talking about a player that was a very highly thought of recruit. Mm-hmm. Went to South Carolina. He got banged up. He dealt with some injuries. South Carolina was pretty awful. He spends some time going over to USC, and he wasn't somebody that got, you know, 200 carries or anything like that. But he did get a good amount of work. He got 116 carries, which is still nothing crazy, but it's a good enough to really get a good feel for him. Put up 820 yards on those 116 carries, though. So good yards per carry. Put up 9 touchdowns. Made some really big plays in the passing game. He's a very elusive guy in the open field, but he's also got the size at 217 that he can be a workhorse back. So I think he's a much better running back than a lot of people are currently giving him credit for.
Even you saying that 217, that's I didn't quite appreciate that, like looking at him, because he has that elusive nature to him, like you said. But that's good that he's got that extra bit of size to him as well. So that's definitely good for Marshawn Lloyd. And just super quick, Blake Corum's going to the Chargers, right? There's no way Jim Harbaugh's not going to take his guy.
It sure feels like it, but we'll see. Blake Corum, and this was before his breakout year this year, but I comped Blake Corum last season in 2022 while watching him. I was like, he reminds me a lot of Kyren Williams. That's the guy he kind of reminds me of. And at the time, it seemed like an insult. but now, obviously, that looks like a pretty big compliment.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. So love those picks there, Garrett. Let's go with your next three off the board then. Who you got?
Next three off the board, let's go with Michael Penix.
Yep.
Bo Nix.
Yep.
And Trey Benson.
Love it. All right, so I mentioned Bo Nix earlier. I said, Garrett, I could see it. I could see him in the green room at the end of round one, looking sad, the full Will Levis experience. What is it about Bo Nix that makes me think that?
He's an older player. He's not a guy that has won a lot in the big moments. He's a slightly erratic quarterback, although he can make some throws, but he's not consistent with it. There's just, for somebody as old as he is, you would want him to be less of a project. And I still think he's kind of a project for being as old as he is, which isn't a great combination.
Yeah, for me, just watching him for Oregon last year, I couldn't help but think, it's like, this is a really, really, really good college quarterback. And there's a lot of things I'm like, don't know if that will translate. He does a lot of things that kind of trick people at the college level, but I just don't know if he'll be able to do that the next step up. But obviously, wish him all the best. Hopefully he does well. But I can't see it fully developing for Bo Nix, which is exactly why. I mean, we're taking him in the second round. There's not a lot of quarterbacks you take in the second round that end up hitting, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we got those three locked in there. Right. Let's go 2-7, 2-8, and 2-9 now, Garrett.
All right. Let's go Malachi Corley.
Love it.
Adonai Mitchell.
Yep.
And Braylon Allen.
Nice. Let's go with Braylon. The burning question I have about Braylon Allen is, do you think he looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
You know what? I would have never put that together. But I could kind of see it.
It's the pads. It's like the shell. Like I could just, it just reminds me of a Ninja Turtle. I can't unsee it.
That's funny. That's funny.
But he's an absolute brute as well, though. Like, I love watching him play. I just think he's someone, if he gets drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, like, look out, because he's going to rocket up boards, right?
Yeah, he even talked today about he is connected with Derrick Henry and talks to him quite a bit, which obviously is what you want to hear for a guy of his size. You want him to be playing a lot like a Derrick Henry type of role. Really young still, too, just 20 years old. Yeah. So he's a young pup. He has a lot of opportunity.
Just turned 20, right?
Right, right. Yeah. He's young. He's very young. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out with him. He's one of those guys where when you see the body of work he's put together, I don't want to bet against him. However, I didn't love his game watching his tape. So that's where I'm torn is. He seems like a good kid that has the drive, comes from a university that has put out some really talented running backs. Like there's a lot to like there. Is in his profile, but I just didn't love the tape overall. So we'll have to see, but I haven't done my deep dive yet. That's just surface level. Yeah. So maybe once I dive a little bit deeper, maybe I'll fall in love with him a little bit more, but right now that's kind of where I got him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully he does well. I always like to see a young kid doing well. So we got Braylon Allen in there. We got three more picks left of the second round. Then Garrett, who are you locking in for your last three?
All right, let's go with Tez Walker.
Yep.
Let's go with Jalen Polk.
Yep.
And then I'm going to do this one just because I wanted to talk about him. I don't know that I would actually take him there at this spot because I think he's going to be available late third, early fourth, probably. But just because I want to mention him, let's put Dejon Edwards in there.
Dejon, I might have to just type it.
Yeah, it might be better just to type it.
Is he definitely?
They don't even have him in there.
Wow, that is a first for the show. This is groundbreaking right here. Right, we'll pretend that we've got Dejon Edwards in there. We're going to have to talk about him now, Garrett. Tell us about Dejon Edwards.
Yeah, Georgia running back. And we know Georgia is another school, does a great job at putting out talented running backs. Kendall Mitchell was kind of the guy that was talked about a little bit more. But Edwards had just as many touches, just as productive of a player. A little bit undersized at only 202 pounds and 5'9". However, when you watch his tape, the dude refuses to go down from the first tackler. Whether this is, yeah, I'm going to make a guy miss, whether this is, I'm going to run him over somehow at 202 pounds, like he refuses to go down on first contact. And I love that about players because we see plenty of guys that are undersized that can still make it work at the next level with that type of mentality. So he's a player you will not need to draft him at 212. Please, in fact, do not draft him at 212. But
yes, well, you can't right now. Like, he's not there.
Yeah, you couldn't even if you wanted to. That being said, he'll probably be a fifth round pick, a sixth round pick. He's going to be a late round pick. But he's one of those guys in that mold where if the things fall right, injury happens, whatever, and he gets an opportunity, he's a guy that could stick. And so I like to look for those kind of guys late in my draft, specifically at the running back position, because the wide receivers, it's really tough to project, you know, if it's your wide receiver 8. Okay, when am I going to play this guy? I have no idea when he's going to have a 2-touchdown game and when he's going to get 1 catch for 6 yards. Like, I have no idea how to play this guy. Conversely, at running back, you almost always know exactly when to play him. Okay, is he the starter this week or is he not the starter this week? And when he is, now I can either utilize him and capitalize on that opportunity to play, or B, I can trade him for somebody else or a future draft pick or whatever. So I love having late round running backs that I think have a chance to do something, and that would be Edwards for me.
I love that you've got. I've got a similar guy that's a guy I was kind of surprised that no one's really speaking about as much, because he's someone that completely dominated in the SEC this year, and Cody Schrader. Nobody talking about him. Nobody mentioned Cody Schrader.
Out of Missouri.
I thought he played lights out. Loved watching that Missouri team last year. I know he's a bit older, but what a story he has as well. He was a walk-on, like, earned his starting role, like, crushed it last year. So I'll be taking loads of Cody Schrader in that kind of fourth round as well. So we're in sync here with the tactics for sure. And Garrett, is there anybody else before I pull down the draft board? Are there any other like sleeper, like late players that you're like, oh, actually, I'll drop him in as well? Or are you good with Edwards?
No, I'm good. I think Edwards was the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I put Corley on there,
who
I think he's rising up boards a little bit. Yeah. So yeah, I'm good.
Love it. So Garrett, that brings us to the end of the draft. And just wanted to say a massive thank you once again for coming on to the show and letting everybody know who your rookie picks are at this current time. Do you just want to remind everyone, what are you up to these days? Where can they find all your great work?
Yeah, you can find everything that I do over at Dynasty Nerds and DynastyNerds.com. We've got more shows coming out than ever, working on the Nerd Score. So a lot of good, fun times are coming ahead.
Absolutely. Make sure you check it out. And thank you so much for joining. If you've not already, hey, make sure you've hit that like, hit that subscribe, and all that good stuff always goes a long way. So one more time from Garrett, from myself, thank you so much for listening to the Dynasty Hot Seat. Remember, for anything Dynasty you need to know, keep it locked on the Certified Inferno. And we'll see you next time. Bye.